He's been good to you. Let's give him praise and magnify him tonight. Let's love him, give him some high praise. Mighty God, we praise you. How we bless your name, oh God. How worthy, how worthy, how wonderful he is. Praise God. What a great, great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. And so glad to be in the house on a Wednesday night. We had two little ones receive the Holy Ghost at Step by Step at the school here at the church today. We want to give God praise and magnify him for that. They just got started in their daily prayer and just kind of lost their way and got lost and all tangled up, and people started getting the Holy Ghost. It's the beginning of that great step-by-step revival. So it's that kind of day. It's a wonderful day, and we praise God that he lets us be a part of it. We're going to continue to make our way through Hebrews chapter 11 tonight on our way through the New Testament and also through the book of Hebrews now. And we're looking forward to Brother Prado being with us this this weekend, Friday night, in the Youth Revival Conference. And then also Sunday, he'll be with us in both AM and PM and in the Spanish service at 2 o'clock. We're going to work him. And he's a real blessing to us. And we're so delighted that he's coming. Please be in prayer. I'm in this season of finalizing plans with a number of preachers that you know and some that you've never met. And we're going to bring them in, and new ones. We're going to get to know one another. And like we did with the process with Brother Prado and Brother Welds, we'll find some that we connect really well with. And then they'll come back, and maybe 3 weeks in a row, we'll hit it for revival, you know, and see how that goes. But we're probably going to have special speakers twice each month for the next couple of months. So be in prayer that God will send us a fresh word, and be at work. Be sure to be farming friends and workmates and classmates, neighbors, to bring them to the house of God, because the Holy Ghost can flow and fill the house. But we need empty vessels here so that empty vessels can be filled. I have a policy. I have an idea about that. I believe if we fill the house with empty vessels, the oil will flow until every vessel is full. I really believe God will do that. And so this is going to be a great year of outpouring and a great year of revival. And we're excited about it. And we don't care what the world's doing or what the politicians do or what the culture at large is doing. If there is a remedy for our city or for our world, it starts in the house of God. And it starts in worship and prayer and revival in the house of God. And somebody opening up the word of God and speaking forth those ageless truths in prayer and in prophecy. Poor, pitiful cities where nobody's preaching. Poor, pitiful cities where nobody's praying and believing. But oh, you're the light of the world, and you're the salt of the earth, and you are a fountain of living water in your prayer closet and in your worship time. And as you open your mouth and begin to speak what the Word of God has said, you're a point of light in a dark, dark world. And God's going to use you, and you're going to be incredibly used for revival. Everybody say amen. We're going to pick back up in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. And make our way through a little review, and then we'll move into some new area on these verses. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. If you love his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks, and let's magnify his name for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you, mighty God. We worship you, O God. We lift you up. What a privilege to handle his word. God bless you. Praise God. So as we're working through this is the Hall of Fame of Faith. And as we're working through this, we've talked about the fact that faith is bridge work between where you're standing and the promise of God, or where you're standing and where God wants to take you, between your natural reality and the supernatural reality, the ultimate reality of God and God's Word. And biblically, we've talked about the fact that faith can never be divorced from works, because James has taught us faith without works is dead. And so we are what we do. And we farmed all of these ideas. I'll just touch them briefly tonight. But Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And so we're going to act out or live out our faith by what we do. And God knows by what you do. And your brother in the Lord knows. And your family knows. And the Philistine outside, they all know by what we do. So then faith is not a feeling or simply an idea, but it is what we do. It is ultimately the action of our lives, what we habituate, what we routinize, what we do on a regular basis. That is our faith. So works then are evidence, and they demonstrate our faith. And so as we make our way through these chapters, we'll find these heroes of faith going all the way back to Cain and Abel, and they are judged to be faithful by what they do. And so Sunday night we were talking about the fact that faith prays. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? It was a teaching there in Luke 18. It was a teaching on prayer. He said, what will I find faith on the earth? But it was a teaching on prayer. He means, will anybody still believe enough to pray? And so prayer is the rudimentary expression of your faith. Take your own pulse. Check your own life's vital signs. If you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a faith life. And without faith, you can't please God. So that's not a condemnation. That's an alarm and an alert. You better get up and learn how to do what the Word of God has called you to do. Coming to church and confessing something without translating it into real life action doesn't mean anything. It just means there's where you go on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, or you profess a certain thing, but it is what you do that determines who you are, and in the scheme of things, determines how God will relate with you or you have a relationship with God. Faith, we talked about some of the New Testament examples of great faith, like Bartimaeus, the little woman with the issue of blood, the Syrophoenician that came in and all by persistence and all by faith made their way into extraordinary experiences with God. So faith presses through the crowd. Faith doesn't sit and say, I have too much opposition. Faith makes a way. Faith gets it done. Faith says, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to start and God's going to finish it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so don't be deterred nor compromised by the opposition. Faith sneaks up on God. That little woman with the issue of blood, he said, who touched me? He said, somebody touched me. I felt virtue flow out of me. And she made her way up through the crowd and got a hold of him, just touched the hem of his garment. And I read that and I understand around God or in the presence of God, even though it may not be widely known and others there may not see it, there is always a gate open with God. There's a way, a gate that God leaves ajar for somebody that'll make their way to him by faith. So then tonight, you've got access to God by faith. You've got the answer to your need by faith. There is ample provision for you by faith. God is ready to work on your behalf by faith. Someone say, praise the Lord. Faith taps into God's resources. You may not have enough. We never do, but God has plenty. And it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith God. Faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. And so as we make our way into this tonight, we're going to move into new verses. We can't recap every time, and so we won't recap everything. But let's start with that seventh verse about Noah. You okay? Good. Praise God. Let's clap our hands once more and bless his name. Hallelujah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Faith sees the unseen. Faith has capacity for vision. Faith looks beyond the natural. Faith doesn't regulate its emotion, its words, its attitudes, its responses by the things that can be seen. We started the chapter with, by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things which do appear were not made of things that are seen by the natural eye. God makes it from the primary stuff of spirit. And so every natural thing has spiritual underpinnings. And so we understand that. And understanding that, our faith sees out. And I may look into an empty pot, but I see the possibilities of God. And I may not be able to see beyond my natural circumstance in my natural eye, but I see in vision and in faith the potential, the power of God. Faith sees the unseen. Faith understands the invisible. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It may not work in the courthouse of the natural, but it'll work in the courthouse of God. It may not work among men. How do you know that? I've got faith. I believe God for this. God's going to do this. God's going to take care of this. And let me tell you something. You've got to be the leader of that parade. You can't wait for something. No, this is your life. This is your family. This is your house. This is your dream. This is your ministry. You've got to get out in front of that parade and say, come on and see what God's going to do. God's got this in control. God is able. God's going to provide. God's going to make a way. Does anybody believe that tonight? Faith sees the unseen. Our faith is evidence of things that can't be seen with a natural eye. Invisible victories always precede visible victories. You want something to happen in the natural, you make something happen in the supernatural. You want something to happen on the job, you get yourself a place of prayer and make a memorial. Before you're going to ever build a memorial in the natural, you're going to build a memorial in the supernatural. When they crossed Jordan, he said, I want you to take 12 stones out of the base of that river, and I want you to build a monument at Gilgal. And Joshua built another monument in the floor of the bed of the river. And when the waters closed over it, it was once again closed to the natural eye. But they built a memorial in the spirit before they built one in the natural. And that resonates so deeply with what we're working on tonight. If you want something to happen in your family, get something started in your prayer closet. If you want something to happen on the job, get something started in your prayer closet. If you want something to happen with someone else, or with your neighbor, or with your mama, or with your daddy, or with your brother, whoever you're burdened for, you get something started. Build a memorial in the depth of the river of the flowing of the Spirit of God, and then come out of there and build a memorial where men can see it. Somebody say praise the Lord. We've got some work to do. We've got some heavy lifting to do. This is what James meant when he said faith without work is dead. You got to do the work. You can't just hope. You can't just sit and say, I just believe it. Well, that's a wonderful sentiment. But what are you doing? What are you doing? Prayer is the power of the Spirit in your life. And just sitting placidly and saying, I'm convinced that God is able, is not doing the work of the Spirit. Doing the work of the Spirit is mining the Word of God and mining the depths of prayer. We build invisible victories. We build invisible memorials before we ever see the victories in the natural. Before we ever see the victories, praise God, in the Spirit. You want your kids to be better, you get better. You want the church to be better, you get better. For the life of me, I find humanity to be beset by exercises in futility. As if finding fault with others would improve some way your own life. As if blaming somebody else would cause your quality of life to be improved. What we call that, what we would call that if we were psychologists, we would call it sublimation. It's when you shunt something to the side that you really don't want to deal with. It's when you need one thing, but you focus on something else. And so when we're dealing with you and you're Simon Peter and Jesus is trying to get you to come across and he's working on you and saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Finally, Peter said, what about him? And points at John and said, let's focus on him for a while. Let's sublimate in this direction. Let's get the heat off of me. But I'm just going to tell you right now, faith starts at home. Faith starts in here. And your circle of influence is a very small place when you begin, but you've got to start building that circle. You don't have much influence if you don't have a prayer life and if you don't build those individual invisible victories. And so you've got to build those within your own circle. But I'll tell you this, God finds somebody that'll get down and get to the business of the Spirit. God will begin to answer some prayers. God will begin to move on your kids. God will begin to move on. And you know, if you want revival, there's an old song says, God, send a revival. And let it start with me. Let it start. Somebody say, let it start with me. My God, I'm not going to point out the fault in somebody else. I'm going to be a flame of fire in the house of God. I'm going to bring my faith, my fire, my confession, my understanding, my zeal to the house of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. I love this church, and it's a good church, and it's a healthy church, and I appreciate you, everyone. But we're talking about faith, and everything in this world hates your faith and wars against your faith and would like nothing better than for you to settle down, be like a bunch of pigeons. Somebody threw a brick up amongst you, and you got all agitated for a little while, but then you just settled back down and were just an old pigeon again. But that's not what God has for you. God wants you to stay stirred up. Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you. And so here with Noah, Noah saw things that were unseen, and he moved with fear and prepared an ark. Faith moves with fear or respect or honor for the things of God. He moved with fear. Faith factors God into everything. Faith doesn't take a step without factoring God into it. What am I going to do at work? Well, let's see what God says about it. What kind of home are we going to have? Let's see what God says about it. What kind of relationship am I going to have here? Let's see what God says about it. How will I handle this situation? Let's see what God says about it. Let's pray before we lay hands on anything. Let's counsel with God before we do anything. That's what faith does. Faith moves with fear. It respects God in everything. I don't want to make a decision without God in my life. I want to stand like Jehoshaphat out in front of the people of God and look up into heaven and say, God, we don't know what to do. We don't have any strength, but our eyes are upon you. We know that you are able, oh God. Do you feel that way tonight? You know what? I don't know how to preach a sermon. I don't know how to teach a Bible study. I don't know how to win anybody to God. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to raise my babies. I don't know how to be a good brother in the Lord, but I know somebody that's got an answer to all of those things. Say, my God, I got to change churches. My preacher doesn't know anything about anything. You'd be exactly right. I don't, and I want God's favor, and I want God's counsel, and I want to consult God about everything that I do. There are some things I don't think he cares what kind of socks I wore to church tonight. There are some things he leaves me with, but hopefully you understand what I am talking about. I want to counsel with God about everything. I want his hand on everything. I want him up in the middle of everything. I ask his favor on you. I ask his favor on the service tonight. I ask his favor on every Bible study. I talk to him about everything that we do. We need God involved in all of it. We need more of God and less of us. He's got to increase. We've got to decrease. Man, I'm telling you, there'll be a revival. There'll be a move of God like you've never seen before. In 2016, let's move ourselves out of the way and let's let there be a lot of God. Let's get humanity out of the way and let God have his way. Let's move our ideas and our preferences out of the way, and let's see what God wants and what God loves. Fear. Noah moved with fear and factored God into everything and considered God in everything. He built it just like God said. Faith prepared an ark. He moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Faith builds a home according to the word of God. How are we going to deal with one another? By the word of God. How are we going to resolve conflict? By the word of God. How are we going to treat our neighbors? By the word of God. How are we going to make decisions about money? By the word of God. You know, if people would just do simple things like run their finances by the word of God, they wouldn't spend more money than they make. You know, it's a simple idea. You live beneath your means. If you get that revelation, you never find yourself in a place where you're living from hand to mouth and you're living on credit cards and you're living in ways that are not pleasing to God. Now, I'm meddling, and I know it's hurtful if you're in that situation, but you don't have to tell me. I know if you're living like that, you don't like living like that. Well, a simple idea, live beneath your means. Let God be involved in your finances. Let God be involved in everything that you do. Build your house. Move with fear. Prepare an ark to the saving of your house. Praise God. You know, in the preaching business, I have dragged my wife around in some places that you wouldn't have come with me. She's a good gal, and she went with me. I'd sit on the swing with her one day, and I said, Let's put our house up for rent. Go live in the Philippines. Go help. Go work in a Bible school. Go teach Bible studies. And she's so faithful. She said, "You can go." Well, sometimes it takes a minute or two to catch up. And she did. And we rented out our house. And when we came back, my pastor wanted me to go to work full time for the school, for the church. To help him, to assist him. He just didn't want to pay me anything to do it. And so I found out what he was willing to pay me, and we went back home and we sat down and figured out, well, what do we need to do to accomplish this? And so what we did was we put our good house up for lease because we couldn't afford to be there. And we went and found us a place down in a kind of a interesting area of Baton Rouge. Old house. It had windows that were running. If you don't know anything about glass, that window's been there a while. Little drips running down the glass. And when she would mop, the place was built by a one-armed carpenter. And it had settled. The old couple lived there. But it had a half-acre yard for these babies to play in, and they had no idea where we had moved them, and they didn't care. We got old Super 8 film of loading up leaves in the backyard out there in that house. We've got good memories of that. You know that? We've got good memories. That house was broken into twice before we ever moved in. We've got good memories of living there. But she's such a good steward. She took that little bit and made it go and made it work. And I'm not telling you this to tell you, oh, sad, sad story. Poor, poor people working for the kingdom of God. No, we've got good memories of that. This is not about that. This is about wherever you are, you can live within your means and you can live beneath your capacity so that you don't find yourself in a place where you're digging a hole you can't get out of. Faith prepares an ark to the saving of your house. Praise God. He's gone to meddling with my money now. But you know, you know what we didn't do? We never miss paying our tithes. And we never miss giving in offerings. And we always had a little something on the side to give to a missionary. And I'm just telling you, faith builds an ark to the saving of the house. And faith prays. And faith gives. And faith forgives. And faith does all the things we talked about Sunday night. Faith does stuff according to the word of God. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. I'm telling you, your father owns it all. He has it all. He can provide it all. He is well able. But you need to put a governor on yourself and on your desire. And sometimes God will put you in a place to test you and to build you and to shape you. And you need to walk wisely and by the word of God and in faith concerning that. Praise God. Faith builds a house. Faith builds a home according to the word of God. And so you're building a home. Andrew, you're building a home right now. You're just always sitting up on the front row, so you're just so handy here for me to deal with. So you're building a home. So you want to build a home like the word of God. So you got to build a house where people are praying in the house. No cussing, no fussing. That doesn't work in a house of faith. So faith does the right thing. And you know, the most spectacular, the most powerful place that faith works is in your home. It's kind of easy to shine up and come to the house of God. Hey, brother, hey, sister, and everything. And that's a good thing. And I don't diminish the power of that, but that's not nearly so powerful as being at home with somebody that really knows you and really knows. Because you can do this for a couple of hours a week, just standing on your head. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we can do this, and there's people that do that. That's why I know that you can do that. And so, yeah, you can do that, and that's a good thing. I want you to do that. Because first, when you're just starting, you have to put on Christ. Paul says, put on Christ. And so you put it on. You do the right things. You say the right things. You go to the right place. You behave. You respond in the right ways. And after you do that, feelings follow actions. You do it long enough, you become that. That's what you do. You get out every morning and run 5 miles, you become a marathon runner. Take a while. Oh, yeah. 5 miles, it'll do it, man. Run 5 miles. You can flat do some running. You'll become a runner. Are you a runner right now? At 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 miles. You'll become a runner because you will become what you do. If you want to become a sumo warrior, tonight and in the morning, eat a gallon of ice cream. Do that for a few months, and you'll be geared up to be a sumo. You know, you become what you do. These are simple. But you want to build a house that is a house of faith, a house that God would want to live in for the saving of your house. So it's a house that is constructed. Noah knew exactly how long to make it, how tall to make it, what kind of timbers to use. I don't know if he ever built anything before in his life, but God told him exactly how to build it. And so he went back continually to the blueprint. He built it exactly like the word of God said, 3 stories. The thing is like 65 or 75 feet at the eave. It's about a football field and a half or 2 football fields long. Man, those guys had to cut trees. They had to prepare them. They had to do their own sawmill. That's why it took 100 years to build the boat. It took a long time. And so they had to do it. It's hard work building it the way God wants you to build it. But if you build it the way God wants you to build it, when the flood came, when the rains fell, when everybody was dying, his family was in that ark. They were snug and tight and dry. They had all the provisions. They had everything they needed. And when God brought them down, they had a brand new world. And that's exactly what God wants for you. He wants you to build it by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you go right back to the word of God and say, how should I treat my wife? I love her like Christ loves the church. How should I raise my children? You tell them when you sit with them. You tell them when you walk in the way with them. You tell them when they stand, when they sit. You tell them at the table. You tell them in the morning. You tell them at night. Tell them the stories of the word of God over and over again. You write it on the doorposts of the house. You make it like a frontlet between your eyes. You repeat it over and over and over and over again in their life and in your psyche. It embeds itself, and you become this marvelous house of faith. By doing, you become. You build a house of faith. You build a house like the word of God. Okay. Praise the Lord. You okay? You all right? So Noah builds a house to the saving of his, builds an ark to the saving of his house. and it's by what you do in that house. And so make a list of what your house is like. Make a list of the primary features in your house. What goes on there? How you feel about one another? Hold that up to the light of the Word of God and begin to transfer what is in the Word of God to that list. This is what we may be right now, but this is what we're going to become. And this is what we're going to become by doing these things that are in the Word of God. And you won't be a rock star at first. You won't succeed the very first time you try, but you just keep trying. You put it on. You keep trying. You will become what you do. Praise God. He moves with fear. He prepares an ark. He builds it to the specifications of the biblical presentation. And so faith is not conditioned by the world. Faith is not obligated or impressed by the world. Faith is impressed by the Word of God. And by the which, the last line of that verse, by the which he condemned the world, by the which he said, I don't care what the world is doing, this is what God is doing. I don't care how the world is living, this is how God's people are living. I don't care what the world loves, this is what God's people love. I don't care what the world is building, this is what I'm building. And friend, when God sends his flood in this generation and things begin to happen in the prophetic sense, you're going to have a tight ark of your own that's going to keep you and protect you, and the Word of God is going to be your salvation just like it was for Noah. Let's build an ark. Let's move with fear. Let's build it according to the Word of God. Faith builds an ark to the saving of the house. Somebody say praise the Lord. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whether he went. Have you ever gone somewhere in God that you didn't know where you were going, but you felt really good about it because God told you to go? Here we go. Where are we going, God? I don't know, but God knows where I'm going, so it's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Banks have a lot of trouble with churches when we're dealing with a bank right now. And we've done this through the years from time to time when we're going to build or do something significant in the property or buy property or whatever. And so as we're doing that, they deal with businesses and they want 5-year plans and they want all sorts of structured static behavior. And I just tell them up front, we don't do any of that. We just do what we Brother Cornwell told me one time. He said, my budgetary philosophy is the money comes in and we spend it. He buys a bus. He gets another bus route going. He needs a bus. He buys a bus. That kind of. And I told the young lady we're working with right now, I said, do you know about church? And she said she did. And I said, well, you know, we do a lot of discretionary spending. If we want to stop, we can stop. But if we've got a need for revival, we bring in preachers. And if we need to support a missionary, we do it. And if we need to build a building, we build it. And if we want to fix a parking lot, we fix it. And we spend money as we need to spend money. It's discretionary. We do it that way. But we don't know what the next chapter is going to be. We don't see very far down the road sometimes. All the stages of this church that we've lived out here for the last 30 years, I couldn't have told you exactly where it was going and how it was going to be configured. All I knew was God's going to build a church. God's going to build a worshiping church. God's going to build a multicultural church. God's going to build a church full of people that love the Word of God and love the apostolic message. I can tell you that. I can give you the rough framing for it. But all the stages along the way, I can see the handprints of God all over it. And God has done a wonderful job. God has done a wonderful job. But we're going right now. We don't know exactly what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do next. I know what I'd like to do in some areas, but I can't tell you exactly what. I just know it's going to be good. And we're going to have revival in the middle of it. And God's going to have his hand on it. And God's going to keep doing what he's been doing. Abraham went and didn't know where he was going. But here's the thing. Faith just says yes. God says jump and you say how high. God says go and we say let's go. We don't worry about the direction because we know he directs our paths and orders our steps. And so we just start moving with the Spirit of God. Faith says yes to God. Right now in this house, God's dealing with somebody about something that he wants you to do, a thing he wants you to accomplish in your life. He's dropped it into your spirit and you're mulling it over and you're wondering about it and you're not sure that you're capable of doing that. But I want you to just stop right now and I want you to just say yes. I just want you to say yes to God. I want you to tell God, I absolutely will, God. You give me the strength. You make me whole in pursuing this, but I'm going to do it with all of my heart as unto the Lord. Let's take a moment, lift our hands and praise God and magnify him. Somebody tell God yes right now. Somebody just say yes to God. God's calling you. God's working on you. God's directing you and you're afraid, but don't be afraid because God is going to be with you and it's going to be good and God's going to bring it forth in your life. Praise God. Faith goes out not knowing where it goes. Faith leaves everything. He left everything back in Ur of the Chaldees. Faith travels with its questions yet unanswered. Faith travels with God and faith trust God. Praise God. Faith doesn't worry about how secure it all is. And that's a scary thing. But with God, you're secure because you're tethered to God. And God brings it forth. I'm telling you, you're familiar with the Word of God. Quite often, you've got to make the journey up the mountain before you see the provision of God. You've got to go, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. In the mount of the Lord, you got to climb the mountain to see what God's going to provide and what God's going to do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Verse 9, by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country. When you first begin to move in faith or you begin to step out in the new directive of God, it doesn't matter if you just started living for God or if you've been living for God for 25 years, every day you are subject to hear new marching orders from God. Something new God wants to work in your life. And if it's been a decade since you've heard something new from God and there's nothing fresh going on in your life, you need to get yourself cranked up in the Holy Ghost, because God's got plenty to do and he's always, the mercies and the anointing and the callings of God are fresh. This is not a stagnant pool. This is a river of living water. It's a well springing up into everlasting life. This thing stays fresh. And so you need to be hearing from God. And so he sojourns in a land of promise, the place God called him to. He feels like a stranger there, as in a strange country. When you first step over into the next stage of faith and where faith is taking you, you'll feel a little strange there. I don't feel comfortable here. I don't feel at home here. I don't feel, this is not like before. Well, no, knucklehead, it's not like before. God's taking you up and God's taking you on, and it's not going to be as it was. And you got to turn loose of that and step on in to where God is calling you right now. He said, you may feel like a stranger in a strange land, but that's where faith will take you. But you settle in there and it's going to be like home in just a minute or two. It's the land of promise. It's where God has called you. At first, when you move there, you're going to feel a little, well, this is not the ministry I was involved in before, or this is not the type of activity I was involved in before, or I've never done this before. But I mean, there's work to do and there's jobs to fill, and God's going to be calling somebody up into those jobs, and you've got to be ready to step into that. And don't you be giving me some spill about how you're not able and you're so pitiful and you can't do it. You open your mouth and you say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Holy Ghost in me is greater than he that is in the world. I may not have the power, but God's got power to burn, and I'm gonna say yes to what God is calling me to do. You're big enough in God to do anything. God has never called you to do anything that he won't equip you for. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. If he calls you, he'll fulfill it in your life. He'll make it happen. All you've got to do is step out in faith and say, yes, God. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Let's just practice. Somebody say, yay, Lord. Praise God. And so when he calls, when he speaks, when he taps you on the shoulder, when he gives you the dream, when he wakes you up in the middle of the night, you just say yes. Don't be mulling all about it. Just say yes. Don't put out a fleece. Just say yes to God. Faith walks out into a land of promise, feels like a stranger. But eventually you're going to feel at home in the promise of God, and you're going to feel like a stranger in the world that you left behind. And that's exactly what we are. We're strangers in our world, and we're at home in the presence of God. Praise God. I was talking to a brother early in the service tonight, and I'm asking visitors all the time, do you know about this? Do you know about apostolic churches or Pentecostal churches? And quite often they do. But I was raised in a real quiet Southern Baptist church, and I was not prepared for what you guys were doing. And my wife and I are sitting on like the second row one morning, like maybe the third time we ever visited church, and this lady went off in front of us. Wow! And she just, I mean, Sunday morning, and she's just like somebody plugged her up to 220, and she's just having her fit, and stuff's flying out of her hair, and we're just kind of entertained by it all. It's like, this is the most bizarre behavior I've ever seen. I felt really good about it all because they were right on in the Word of God, and that was great. But I thought, I feel like I'm a little strange in this land. I don't know how they work here and what they do, and I don't know all their customs, and I sure don't know how to do what she just did, and I can't imagine why she did it, and I don't know what it means, but I guess it's all right because everybody else is sitting around like they're not calling the paramedics or anything. I guess she's okay, so this is all right. But when you first come into the house of God, it's all a little bit strange. When you walk into ministry, it's a little bit strange. When God calls you up to the next level, it's a little bit strange. But that's where faith goes, and faith says yes. Don't you get in a rut and think, well, this is where I am and this is where I'll be. The kingdom of God is dynamic. It's not static. It's fluid. It's moving. God wants to use you, and he's going to be calling you, and he's going to develop you, and he's going to call you into new experiences and new vision and new ministry and new areas. And so you got to be ready. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Do you want to be used of God? You want to hear from God? You want fresh news from God? Some of you are afraid to say yes to that. And he dwelled in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Faith dwells in tabernacles. Faith dwells in tents. Faith doesn't get too mired down in the world. Faith is not connected in concrete ways to this present world. Praise God. People ask me about this church building. We got a for sale sign up in front of our church building. And, well, that's right, because we got an opportunity down the road here, and to get in it, we need to sell this one. Some folks came and looked at it Sunday, and early this week, they were out walking around laying their hands on this building. Well, that's pretty funny, because we've had some folks walking around and laying hands on the other building. We're peculiar like that, aren't we? And if I see them out here, I'm going to help them. Move over. I'm going to help you pray for this building. Sell this thing, God. But this building, I don't care if this is a church. I see this house, it's a great warehouse. That porch out front's a great loading dock. I can see trucks backing up, shattering brick, throwing stuff, running into the walls, tearing the place up. I don't care. I'm not fascinated with a building. I'm fascinated with what God does in a building. I'm not connected to this property or anything on it. I'd sell it in a heartbeat if it meant moving on to a bigger barn where we can put more harvest. I am ready. Can you say praise the Lord? Faith dwells in tents. It dwells in tabernacles. We're not rooted to places or real estate or physical structures. We're rooted to the moving of the Spirit of God. And I'll just tell you this, if we have to get outside on a parking lot to have a move of God, I'd be there. Well, praise God. I don't care if it's a metal building or what kind of construction it is. We don't have to have St. Peter's Basilica, but we do have to have a moving of the Spirit of God. We do have to have an apostolic word. We do have to have little children and people receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Somebody say praise the Lord. Faith dwells in tents. We're ready to move. Staff in hand. Loins girded. Shoes on your feet. That's how you eat the Passover. You're ready to travel. You're ready to go. But that never changes in this business of living for God. Praise God. So there's no permanent dwelling here. We know that. Our permanent dwelling's on the other side. And I can't really see that all that clearly. So when we get there, we'll figure that out. Faith, he lived in tabernacles with Jacob and Isaac, the heirs both with him of the same promise. Faith produces in-house the generational manifestation of the promise. Faith produces a generational manifestation. You need, as we're taking our symptoms, as we're taking our pulse, as we're looking at ourselves, and we're defining faith, faith works, faith prays, faith moves, faith says yes to God. Faith is productive. Faith bears fruit. Faith gives life and rise to another generation. And so you're taking your pulse and you need to say, I don't have a prayer life. I don't have a faith life. I got to get that on my list of what to do tomorrow. If I'm not faithful in my giving to the house of God, I've got to get that on my list of things to do tomorrow. If I'm not producing fruit in the kingdom of God, I've got to get that on my list of things to do tomorrow. Abraham dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs together with him in the promise. Faith produces the next generation. And so, and I'm not talking about your physical generation, although if you raise them up right and they live for God, I guess you get points for that. That's a good thing. But you need to be bearing fruit. You need to be a fruit-bearing tree, a cultivated field, the vineyard of God. And God's fruit needs to be produced in your life. Faith produces fruit. Faith is not a dead stick. Faith produces in the house of God. Faith witnesses. Faith teaches Bible studies. Faith talks about it. Faith knocks on a door. Faith lays hands on somebody and prays for them. Praise God. I won't reveal the identity, but we got a call today. A person was in a doctor's office and got talking to somebody and just got all caught up in the witness and laid hands on them and prayed for them right there with a perfect stranger. But that's what you're supposed to be doing. Living for God's not about what you do in this house. There's some important things that happen in this house. But the most important thing we do is get outside of this house and touch our city for the kingdom of God and become a soul winner and a change maker and an agent, an intrusive agent for the kingdom of God. Praise God. So he dwells in these tents with Isaac and Jacob, and he's producing generations that are going to come up in the promise of God. Faith does that. Every generation looking for the next generation, and faith continually unfolding. And the scripture says in Romans 1, for therein the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so where you are right now is not where you should be a year from now. And where you were last year, you ought not be there right now. You should be looking back on it from an elevated position. I am stronger. I am better. I'm reaching further. My faith walk is more complex than it was a year ago. My fruit production is better right now than it was a year ago. And if I'm beating you up with any of this, it's not intended to do that. It's intended to say, this is something you can do. This is not some elusive, unattainable thing. This is something you can put on a punch list and say, I need to do these things in my life, because faith is what you do. It's not what you feel. And you need to, this time next year, be standing in an elevated position in reference to where you are right now. You need to know more. You need to be doing more. You need to have a more productive ministry. And so you have to have on your day timer, or however you order your life, on the structure of your day, you need to have a list of things that I'm going to do to improve. If you don't do self-evaluation, you need to do that. You need to put that in practice right now. It's the beginning of a new year. It's a great time to do it. And when you evaluate yourself, you don't need to lie. You need to tell the truth. I am wonderful. I'm doing really good. I am God's chosen vessel. Don't lie to yourself. Be critical. And in doing, and I don't mean defeatist and condemning. I mean do critical analysis and say, where am I strong? Where am I weak? What can I do? How can I build this? I want to build a better ark. I want to build a better tent. I want to raise up another generation. And faith moves from faith to faith. Faith is our interface with vision. And the Word of God says, for he looked, this is the wrap up on verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations. Lindsay, come help me. Whose builder and maker is God. He, by faith, sees vision. He, by faith, defines everything that he's doing. So where we are right now, this is good. I love being in the house of God. But this is not where we're staying. And so I am not so thoroughly connected to this. I'm thoroughly connected to that. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Praise God. So in the morning, this thing is fresh and new and alive. You know what I've been trying to do, Brother Tenarius? I've been trying to quit teaching so many Bible studies. I need to back off. There's some other things I need to do. But I keep getting these wonderful open doors for new Bible studies. And I'm an addict. I've got, if this is an AA meeting, if this is a Bible study addicts meeting, my name is Barry and I'm an addict. I can't say no. I can't give them away. And I can't quit going. And I can't quit being incurably optimistic that they're going to all come and get the Holy Ghost and live for God happily ever after. I keep believing it. Do you know how many Bible studies I've taught that have been sheer, absolute, unmitigated disasters? Lots of them. They didn't live for God. A bunch of them are dead and gone to hell. That's not funny. I used to keep a list. I don't anymore. It's too scary. But Brother Mike, every time a new one comes, it's like Christmas all over again. I am an absolute Bible study junkie. And I can't quit. I can't stop. Because I think somebody else is going to come. Come go with me. Where are we going? Well, I've never been there. But I've got an idea. It's just the most amazing place. Come go with me. Build an ark to the saving of your house. Raise up a generation in your tents. Say yes to God. Don't get too tethered here. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. Stay lively, stay fluid, because this thing is an organism that's just moving inexorably toward eternity with God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise God. In your prayer tonight, I want you to take stock, evaluate, find your pulse. Who am I? How's my faith? How's my faith? How am I doing in this? Where's your punch list? Do you need to start adding something to your punch list? What do I need to do to get better, to get closer, to get more productive? Let's come down to an altar tonight and do some business with God. Let's do some business with God. God, I want to serve you. I want to please you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Don't you dare come to this altar condemned tonight. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Come hungry, come looking, come desiring, come with purpose, come with vision. I want to serve God. I want to be better. I want to grow stronger. Hallelujah. Yes, yes.